Imagine that one of your loved ones says something to you that would be considered as hurtful, judgmental, or even critical. And what if there was a way that you could show up and respond from a place where you don't react or you don't engage in the other person's behavior, that you can actually remain calm and centered and show up in a healthy way? In this episode with my guest, Nancy Reed, we talk about ways in which you can do this and what is actually needed and necessary for you to be able to be in this place of power where you are not shaken to the core or thrown off center by something that someone says or does to you. To find out exactly how to do this and what is involved, tune in to this week's episode. Welcome to the Masks Off for People Pleasers and Perfectionists podcast. I am Kim Gross, your host, and it is my mission to help you unmask from people pleasing and perfectionistic behaviors so that you can finally have the confidence to live the life that you truly desire. Let's tune in to this week's episode. I'm going to begin with a quote as I normally do. And the quote is, let me make sure I have it. Your self net worth is priceless. And then you offered another one, or being you is enough. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am Nancy Reed, as you mentioned, and I am a self-worth coach, an author, and a spiritual teacher, as well as a quantum manifestation specialist and a Pilates instructor. So I wear lots of different hats. And I support heart-centered, sensitive, intuitive, successful women to value their self at the level of their biggest dream, not their doubts, even before that dream fully comes true. Without the paralysis of perfectionism, imposter syndrome, self-judgment, or comparisons, by using deliberate kindness and curiosity as the cornerstones to invite total transformation and manifestation of abundance on every level. And I nurture and inspire these perfectly imperfect active decision makers and life participants who believe in the reality of their dreams and who share an even bigger collective dream of manifesting the best life experience, not only for themselves, but for all those that share the world with them. And if it's possible for me, then it's possible for you too. And becoming and being the same you on the inside, motivated by fully believing you are worthy to show up exactly as you are with everyone everywhere, makes everything different in your life. And instead of trying to fit yourself into a frame of impossible perfectionism, you get to reframe what is really possible while being your perfectly imperfect self, so that you can reclaim the infinite abundance and prosperity that is your divine and natural inheritance. And like you said, your real self net worth is priceless and timeless.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And you also just had a book come out as well, correct?
Yes, I did. Yes. And it's won many awards. And so that's super exciting and fun. And it is called Happily Ever Now, Not After Everything Else Is Perfect. And it is a gentle guide for overcoming the paralysis of perfectionism by embracing our innate guidance.
So let's start there, because I know that you shared with me before that you have a story where you did at one point struggle with perfectionism.
Oh,
you want to
yeah.
tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's actually, I wouldn't even say that I did. Let's just say that perfectionism is not something that you cure. It is something that you gently can overcome But in the overcoming of it, it's not that it's gone. It's just that it no longer has the power and the effect to really limit your decision making, right? And limit the options that you feel are possible for you within that decision-making process. So for me, I mean, I was always the girl that tried to get all the A's, really A pluses if I could. And if I got that B, it would be like, uh-oh, what happened? You know, how did I fail here? And it was a failure, right? It was like A or nothing. And that was just how I was. And I, you know, grew up trying to kind of be this perfect version of me, but I didn't really know what that was. Even though I was highly empathic and intuitive, I definitely had kind of done the best I could to hide in plain sight so that I appeared as normal and like everybody else on the surface, feeling like that if they really knew what was going on inside of me, that they'd want nothing to do with me.
Oh my gosh, I so identify with that. So then that leads us into the self-worth piece and the value, like valuing ourselves. And as a recovering perfectionist as well, I did not always feel that I was worthy or valuable unless I was doing all the things and doing them perfectly. And what I love what you just said was that it's not like we get rid of this. There's no cure for the perfectionism, that we gently, and that's such a key word, because when you're a perfectionist, it is so freaking hard, at least it has been for me, to be gentle with myself. Right? Because
absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, just that sadly, the truth is that it's really easy to be judgmental with ourselves as a perfectionist. And it doesn't take any effort. There's very little effort to find all the reasons that we're not enough, to look for our flaws, to find the ways that we're not measuring up. And I can say that with a light heart now. You know, I used to take that very seriously.
Yes.
And if somebody would have told me that, you know, 10 years ago, even, I would have been like, who are you? You know? So there's no judgment in that, right? But when we can have a gentleness, it means that when we look at the places that we're struggling in our lives, or that we're repeating these patterns that are not helpful or healthy, that if we can look at that with softness rather than with harshness or with judgment, then we can actually fully see what's there. And we can see what the purpose is for that action or for that decision-making pattern. And we can go, and get into that space of curiosity, like I like to say, rather than judgment. And then we get to go into that wonder and be like, well, I wonder what the purpose of this is. I wonder what this was trying to serve. And then when we're in that place of wondering, we're not judging, we're not comparing, we're not blaming, we're not shaming. And so we're more likely to be open to a different way of approaching things that also then is not already infused with that core of judgment.
So how do we apply that very principle that you just described so beautifully with other people in our lives when they may be showing up in their imperfect selves? Mm-hmm. They're showing up from their strategies, their patterns, their way of being in the world, and their way of showing up may be very harsh, judgmental, and critical.
100%.
How do we deal with that?
So the way that you deal with that is you don't deny any part of it, right? Mm-hmm. You fully look at your experience. You fully almost like rise above it, if you want to think of that image, like rising above the battlefield of that interaction, and you see it for what it really is. And here's the thing. When you know who and what you are, so when you know that you are this perfectly imperfect you, and that gets to show up with everyone everywhere, like I mentioned before, all of a sudden the effort that comes from trying to adapt yourself, from trying to be these different versions of you to make others happy or to placate them or to, you know, all these other things, that drops away. And now you get to instead show up fully as your perfectly imperfect self. So that means you're never failing. It means you're never falling short, because if your goal is perfectly imperfect, you can't fail. And so when you see others doing things, you are coming from a place of wholeness rather than lack. So nothing they do or don't do has the same impact on you anymore, because you're no longer looking to be fulfilled by anything outside of yourself. So you can let them have their tantrums. You can let them do all these things. Yes, you set boundaries. Yes, you make choices. Yes, you come from love, though, not from fear. And yes, you come from wholeness, not from lack. So now you're showing up with a mindset coming from abundance rather than scarcity.
Okay, so let's do a hypothetical for the listeners. Mm-hmm. Let's do a real example. So let's say that I've done a ton of work and I'm coming from a place of abundance. I'm coming from wholeness, as you said. And let's say that I'm get into an interaction with either one of my kids, let's just say, and they mm-hmm. are saying something repeatedly that is still like hurtful, quote unquote. I'm doing air quotes for those who are just listening. And so you're saying then they say something critical, something judgmental, mm-hmm. but if I'm in that place, then it should have no impact on me. No bearing on.
Well, it's not that it has no impact on you. It's that you don't give it the power to have an impact, right? You still might feel stuff and you don't want to deny anything. I mean, like if my daughter throws a tantrum at me, I only recognize that if I start to have an issue with what she's saying, it's because there's something that she's saying that I actually believe is true, mm-hmm. right? So if I am showing up fully fulfilled in me, then I realize that nothing she's doing can take away from that wholeness. And so I let her have her tantrum. And then I look at her and I say, you know, do you need a moment? Right? So it's not about the form. It's about the content, in the fact that I'm coming from wholeness. Then whatever the most loving way to respond to the situation is, I'm going to respond. I also could say, oh, you know, do you want a hug? Or, oh, let me hear if I'm hearing you correctly, right? Because I'm not needing to prove myself. I'm not needing to prove my worthiness to her. I already have it. So now I get to show up full and I get to say to her that, what do you want me to know here? You know, I get to go into that curiosity and, yeah. or I get to say, you know, it's okay. Go ahead. Take 20 seconds to be upset. Go run around the block for a second, you know, and come back in and we'll talk here. Right. You know, like it's that she can't do anything that is going to rock me, quote unquote, because I'm coming from stability. So now I get to meet her maybe like 11 anger or something like that with like a 3 of calmness, right? And it's not that I'm denying her anger. It's that I'm recognizing that I don't need to choose to give it the power to affect me.
Yeah.
That I can allow her to be as she is. I don't need her to be any different. See, that's the thing. When you come from wholeness, when you come from sameness, you don't need others to be different in order for you to maintain that. And that is what the empowerment is. And that's actually what allows you to show up much more fully and much more present, because now you're not needing to get any sort of validation from that interaction.
Yeah, I love what you're saying there, because even if she said to you, say she was in a tantrum, as you said, and she said to you, you're the worst mother in the world. I hate you. You mm-hmm. suck. Whatever, right? I've heard that so many times. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying is that as a mom, if you believe what she's saying, mm-hmm. then you're going to feel really triggered and reactive. If you yes. believe that you're the worst mom, if you're believing what your child mm-hmm. is saying, and you have all mm-hmm. these holes, H-O-L-E-S, in you, then yeah, that's going to penetrate and that's going to hurt. And you're going to mm-hmm. say something back that's going to be reactive. and you're going to be in this dance, and then you're going to hurt her even more. And then she's going to say, I hate you even more.
Right.
Round and round we go. However, what you're saying is that if you have healed enough, you've done your inner work, you show up from wholeness, you show up from abundance, you know that she's just having her own whatever, she's coming from a place of hurt or woundedness perhaps, but you're in this place. So you're like you said, curiosity, you're not being triggered because now you're coming from whole, whole, and you can hold that container.
Mm-hmm.
You can hold that exactly. space for the other person.
Mm-hmm. And you can also check in with yourself because you actually have that time. It's as though it expands. See, when you're reacting, it feels like you have just instant decisions, right? And there's that, like that urgency and that pressure and that forcing. When you're in this spaciousness, it's as though time expands. And so you're allowed to, you can hear everything that's being said. You're fully present to what's there, but you're only responding to what is present, right?
Yeah.
And so you're not looking from the past and you're not projecting into the future. You're being there in the moment and you're recognizing that there's nothing she can say that can take away from what I know is true for me. And I know what is true for her in the fact that if I am whole, then so is she, right? So I don't need to try to fill something up inside of her out of some defense either from myself. So there's a very powerful lesson in the spiritual thought system that I practice and teach called the Course in Miracles. And it says, in my defenselessness, my safety lies. And that has been one of the greatest healing pieces of my perfectly imperfect journey has been to actually believe that so I can allow somebody.
Can we pause
somebody,
there for 1 second?
Yeah,
let's
sure.
say that again. Lessness.
Yes.
Lies my safety. So can you say a little bit more about that? Expand that out a little.
Yeah. So when somebody, especially if you're a card carrying lifetime perfectionist, right? Like me, that when somebody says something that triggers that inner perfectionist within me, and it's like, I've been, revealed or something like that, or I tried as hard as I could and they found that one flaw, that must be that, I've got to come axe wielding, shield out, If instead you can just allow that to be as it is, a statement or whatever it is that someone's, expressing, but you realize that you don't need to defend your choices, your very identity, your existence, your decisions, your anything like that. Instead, you can just allow the information to come in and you can choose to have it, let it reach you or not. And it very well might be that you hear it fully and you go, well, that doesn't feel true to me, right? I know that's not true. And yet this person seems very intent on believing that that's true. So I'm going to excuse myself and I'm not going to attack back in the process. I'm going to say, I've got something in the oven, or I've got, whatever it is, or, phone got disconnected, whatever it is, right? But I'm not going to come from hate. I'm not going to come from attack. I'm going to come from that I know what's true for me. And again, that has to be that it's true for everybody else as well. And therefore, if someone's having a bad day, wouldn't I want somebody to overlook my rants or raves that I was having a bad day about? Absolutely, right? So when we can see that sameness rather than that difference, then we operate from that place of abundance. And so it doesn't become necessary to prove our case. We're not having to have the jury find us innocent, right? We're already exonerating ourselves. And if that's true for us, then it's true for everyone else too.
Wow. First of all, okay. So you're speaking to the choir in terms of like trying to prove myself. Oh my gosh. Judge and jury. No. It's because as a recovering people pleaser as well, that's all I really ever wanted was to be able to prove my worth so that the other person would like me, love me, accept me. It's like, can't you just see me, hear me? And what I hear you saying is, no, no, no. If you come from a place of worth and wholeness, you don't need to prove anything to anyone.
Exactly. And the thing is that you can't really practice self-love, self-care, all of these things until you believe you're worthy of receiving, right? So you have to believe that you're worthy of receiving the wholeness and the experience of the wholeness. Otherwise, it's just going to bounce off of you. You know, you're going to think of it some platitude like, oh, I deserve self-love, right? You're going to say that, but you're not going to believe it. And you're going to find all the defenses to that belief. So you need to look at your actual beliefs, but with compassion and with curiosity and gentleness rather than judgment. And that'll allow you to really see what's there. And until you see it all, you can't heal it all. And until you believe you are worthy, you're not going to believe any of the other practices of self-care, self-love, self-help, I don't care what, self-discovery, you name it, personal growth, anything else, you'll find all the reasons why it's not true for you. And then you're going to blame the practice that you tried. And heaven help the person that you decided to choose as your guru. And then you're going to find all the flaws in them because you didn't believe you were worthy of the investment in practicing wholeness with yourself.
Yeah, I think we have to really highlight that and underscore and underline that because that is so key and so important. And I agree with you. There was a time that I used to hear gurus, teachers talk about self-love. Just love yourself. Just love yourself. What the frick? I couldn't. It was like really, and then I thought I was doing something wrong, right? Then my perfectionism kicked in. Why can't I do it? They just said to just love myself, just take care of myself. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't. And you're so right, Nancy. It's because back then at the time, I didn't feel worthy enough.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Valued. And I didn't feel that I mattered.
Right.
So how was I supposed to give myself? I had this raging inner critic going on. How was I going to love myself when I had that raging inner critic? It was impossible until I learned to value myself.
Exactly. And nobody can force you to experience that, right? You have to choose it. So there has to be something that stirs your curiosity enough that you're willing to try on this idea of wholeness and to look at your worth. And what I have found through my own experience and through that of working with over 1,000 clients around the world is through deliberate kindness, that actually is the greatest quantum manifestation tool that there is to experiencing sustainable happiness. And that when you're approaching it from a perfectly imperfect lens and intention, then you can only succeed.
So do you want to say more about deliberate kindness then?
Yes. So deliberate kindness can be something that is so helpful when you're looking at that idea of worthiness, right? And that's actually what inspired me to start 32 Favors, which is called a deliberate kindness project. And I'm offering that in my private community called Sparkle Circle. And it is a deliberate kindness initiative. And again, there's no challenge to this, right? People call it a challenge. And I'm like, no, it's not a challenge because for perfectionists, they're going to be like, something else I can check off a box, right? Without checking in. And I don't want that. I want this to be, again, an invitation that you're responding to from gentleness, not from lack, not from scarcity, not from comparison or judgment. And that what I came to know is that at a place in my life where I felt like literally I was worthless, that I didn't have enough clients, that I didn't have enough money in my bank account, that I didn't have a relationship to call my own at that point. I was divorced. I was living in Los Angeles, didn't know a soul. I'd done everything I could to be perfect in my business and it wasn't succeeding. And the only thing I knew was that I had my rent paid on my studio for work and then my apartment for living, right? For the next month. And so I was like, okay, so I've got this paid. And then beyond that, I don't have any idea. I'm going to have to run back home with my tail between my legs, tell my parents they were right. I couldn't make it on my own. Tell my ex he was right. I couldn't, you know, all this stuff, right? And instead of throwing in the towel like I was about to and give my notice to my landlords, I took a nap. And then during this nap, I had this really prophetic dream. And I've always been a very lucid dreamer. And during this dream, I was in a high hurdles race. And I was running these high hurdles and I was doing terribly. I was running up to them and stopping. And then I wouldn't go over them. And then finally, I would like kind of walk over them. And then I was like running and then I fell. And I fell really, really, really hard. And I was like bleeding and beaten up and everything like that. And I realized in the dream that I had a choice at that moment, that the only way I was going to see what was after the finish line in the dream was to actually complete the race. And I told myself that I could either stay on the ground and be in the pain and focus on that, or I could get up. And even if I didn't win, which there was like no chance of at that point, I was going to finish it. And so I started running again and I fell and I got back up and I started running again and I fell. So you would think that I would learn, and no, I kept falling and kept falling, but I kept getting up. And so I crossed the finish line. And as I did, I had this experience where it was almost like a life review for those that have had near-death experiences, where I saw things from the past, things from the present, and things from the future. And I saw all these people dressed in different clothing, speaking different languages. And the one element, though, that connected all of them that I experienced was that they were in pain. And I had this thought that, like, well, what can I do? I'm just one person, right? And then my inner voice spoke to me, not the inner perfectionist. And she said, just start. And you have your hands, you have your feet, you have your voice. And so for however reason that I was able to do that, I started just reaching out to the people all across these different aspects of time. And they got lighter and I got lighter. And then I woke up and I was like, okay, what did this dream try to tell me? Because I knew it was something very important. And so I started writing like about the dream, and I started blogging basically that day. I became a blogger, and this was 15 years ago. And I, you know, wrote down this dream, and I was like, you know, just kind of just free associating and everything like that. And then this idea came to me, like, okay, well, so I don't have all this money. I don't have all this influence. I don't have all this power, but I do have me. And I do have my time, and there is value in that. And I do have my heart, and there is infinite value in that. And so what if I became an emissary of kindness for others that are too busy right now in their lives, that they want to share kindness in a very deliberate way? What if I become their emissary of that? What if I become basically their agent, right? Their gentle agent. And so I came up with this project called 32 Favors. And I chose 32 because one day longer than the longest day of any month is 32, right? And I agreed that I would do this for that long, not setting myself up to fail, and that I had no idea what was going to happen. But I put this initiative out there. I said, for the next 32 days, I'm your girl Friday. Tell me the cause that you wanted to donate time to, but you don't have time. I'll be your emissary. You send me on your behalf. And then basically I'll gather this list of favors. And so people started sending in all these requests. And what was amazing was that through doing these very simple acts, but showing up whole and knowing that I mattered, that I had value, you know, inside of me just by being me, that at the end of the 32 days, I had a full roster of clients. And I stopped doing anything with my business. I just like basically surrendered to it and let it go. But I met all these people in this huge city that everyone says is so, you know, into themselves and doesn't care. And they were my literal angels. And they connected me with other people. I got all of these contacts, and it became this really unintentional quantum manifestation tool where I was valuing myself at the level of my biggest dream before it came true. And so I showed up as her. And then my dream actually unfolded as I was living it. And that is why I say that for anyone that is having a worthiness issue, start with practicing deliberate kindness. You start by extending it outwards, and then you realize somewhere along the way, you're actually experiencing it each time you're extending it.
I love that. I love that you shared that story. So you've given so much information, so much value in this episode. I can't even begin to count all the value that's in here. I would just say to kind of round out the conversation, two things. One is, if you had anything left in your toolbox that you wanted to share that you haven't, in terms of like a piece of advice for anyone, that, and then where can people find you?
Well, what I would say is to obviously be gentle with yourself and to know that now is always the perfectly imperfect time to begin living your happily ever now, not after everything else is perfect. And they can find me on my website at Nancy Reed, which is NancyReed.com. They can also connect with me on Facebook individually, and they can also request to join Sparkle Circle. And it's for any heart-centered woman that wants to connect with a sparkling sisterhood and wants to participate in 32 Favors as well. It is a thing that I offer live once a year, and then it's an evergreen thing going on through the rest of the year too. So you can always participate in that. And you can also work with me privately in coaching. I usually focus within kind of a mindset container of self-worth to begin with. And, then we go into sustainable happiness as well, and anything within quantum manifestation. And I offer group containers too.
I love that. Thank you so much for being on and for sharing all of your experience, all your strength, and all your hope. It's absolutely inspiring.
Thank you so much, Kim. This was a delight.
So thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of Masks Off for People Pleasers and Perfectionists. And if you enjoyed this conversation that Nancy and I had, would love for you to give us a review, give a like, thumbs up, and I will see you next time.